Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That hot seat.
This hot seat is very important.
Now, fun times. Always good to see John.
Yeah, reminded fun.
Of the fun that we have.
Yes.
Just the quick jabs that he got in there. I've also had a lot of fun doing this segment.
Yes.
Fade Brad, 1-0 last night as it relates to his picks against the spread. He did have two picks in, but we do not count his over on Tatum, 3.5 three-pointers in his record for the season. And that record now is 25-39. He had the Celtics minus 10.5 last night. Obviously, they did not cover that. And so if you flip that, 39-25 equates to, as we've said and we're very proud of, 60.9% winning clip for those fading Brad. And we've suggested you do that from day one. Let's do Fade Brad Carson.
Your love is fading.
Now, it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to Fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right. Mavericks, Timberwolves, Western Conference Finals. Yes, Brad, it's that time. It's time for you to perform. I'm going to get the most updated line because this morning, and it has. It's moved a little bit.
We have movement?
Since this morning. When I saw Minnesota as a 4-point favorite, that is now up over at FanDuel to minus 4.5.
Yeah, I get more points, huh?
Minnesota, a minus 4.5-point favorite. We know you can hear this game live right here on 92.9 FM ESPN starting at 7:30. We're going to let Brad figure out who's at home and who's away.
Ladies
His
and gentlemen,
starts now.
We didn't used to carry all the NBA games during the playoffs. We got a new boss. She said, Brad, you air those NBA games. Brad is airing all the NBA games on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Oh,
that
right.
includes all of the playoffs.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Well, this is what I do for the people. I am for the people.
For the people.
So we are playing this game tonight at 7 o'clock, pregame 7:30, as Jason alluded to. It's on TNT. It's on 92.9 on your radio. So maybe John will... Hopefully he's not the hex on the losing by coming in, right? He was one of the guys who said, maybe we've identified something. He talked about your limits, and he said, Jason, your limits are pretty high because you're square.
Square.
But Brad, what's your limit? And we looked at my limits, and we go, whoa, you are America square. And so America square tonight, Dallas and Minnesota. I'm going the opposite way of everything you said earlier in the noon hour because I believe that the guard play is better for the Mavericks. I believe in Luka. I believe in Kyrie's new role that he's subscribed to. I believe in these tall bigs and shutting down with the size of Gafford and some of these guys they're using down low in the post to shut down the dynamic duo from Minnesota. I look quickly at the injury report. Remember, limited research here. And it says that Luka is going to play. He's a game-time decision. He'll play. Mike Conley, game-time decision. You'll see Mike Conley tonight, no doubt. He's going to play. But I was kind of down on Mike. Mike's got his hands full in this one. I realize he was able to sort of work a kind of a nicked-up Nuggets team, but that ain't going to happen this time. I'm going with the Mavericks, plus 4.5. Give me every single damn point they've got, including the line moving from 4 to 4.5. Mavericks in game one, plus 4.5.
Yep, I saw when your eyes lit up when I mentioned the movement up. Your eyes lighting up at the thought of more points.
Like that little half.
You gave it away there. Dallas plus 4.5 for Brad there. You mentioned you've got a bonus.
I do have one.
What you got?
Much like last night, I always roll with three-point shooting when I roll with a team, and this is no exception. Like last night in Tatum, who didn't disappoint for you guys who were betting the opposite of me, he had two. It was a 3.5 point. 3.5 threes is what they were calling for on FanDuel for the over-under. So I'm doing the same with Luka tonight. 3.5 threes. I'm going over threes for Luka Doncic at the 3.5 three-pointers.
Brad, over. Same as last night almost.
Same as last night
Luka
on that.
Doncic. The number is 3.5.
The number is 3.5. Cordy, that was FanDuel this morning. It was on for Luka's over on FanDuel was 3.5 threes. And I got to think, if I'm going to roll with the Mavericks and I'm a better, which I'm not clearly, I'm rolling with Luka to hit some of those and hit a lot of them. So Luka over 3.5, Mavericks plus 4.5.
So yesterday I was explaining to my son because he was asking, well, what about the pick that he's doing with Tatum? Does that go on his record? And I said, no, son, that's just his picks versus the spread in terms of our overall record. We will not add the prop to his record. I said, what it is, son, was a Brad Heat check. The guy is so hot
and so confident
right now that he decided to add the prop.
Yeah.
It's on the side. He's given us two of those now because, as you mentioned, you gave us one in the horse race.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I was feeling a little giddy.
You did it on Twitter.
I was on Twitter, and I was feeling it.
Keep an official count of your side bets here. Yep. Both of those have gone 0-2 now.
Yeah, I had a horse that I picked, and it didn't win place or show.
There you go. Didn't win place or show, so we lost there too, yep. Which is perfect. Again, even his side bets have hit.
Everything.
We have not included them in the record. I want to mention again, because I got the bet slip this morning from a man, Nash.
Yeah.
We advise you not to parlay these.
Yeah,
I understand that you're getting so confident in Brad's power, right? He's picked five straight losers.
Yes.
That you feel like you can parlay these things, put them together,
you're still
going to hit the same clip. We recommend against doing that.
Yeah.
We suggest you not do that, that you pick them individually. And, of course, that you do it responsibly. I did get a sense from John, though.
Yes.
That even he is starting to believe what we're selling, that, Brad, there are no real edges. In fact, if there is a real edge, it might just be fading Brad Carson. It might be the best thing in the betting game.
Well, FanDuel did the research over 4 years on me on this, and that's what we found out. Is there's a reason why those limits are so high, because they study this. They have their algorithms, and they go, Brad, we'll let you bet the farm if you want
to. But what they didn't bank on was us figuring it out. That
doing
if we
the
flipped
opposite.
The script
yep.
from what, for one of their best losers, could we then turn it into
use
a winner? And that's what we want to keep
looks
under
like
the
it.
Yeah, we want to keep it under the FanDuel radar.
I think, Brad,
we've got you figured out.
On this bet tonight, by the way, this to me is like a prize fight where I want to see how these two operate. This is not like the Boston series where I was very confident in Boston, and clearly I shouldn't have been because Boston almost chucked it in game one. I think this is a sizing up matchup tonight between the Mavs and Timberwolves. I think this should be a close series. I think it'll go seven. I do like the Mavs, but I could see where the plus 4.5 points that I need every single one of those four to get this thing done tonight. And it's obviously on the road. You're in Minnesota, so
right. We'll so your point, adjustments will be made later.
Yeah, I mean,
in the series that could
fight.
Change the series.
Yeah.
This will be a
this
testing
is not like
out.
The Boston series where I think Boston will sweep now. I really do. Like I see Boston taking over that series, and I think the Pacers just saw their window go away.
Well, there you go. You could be right. The picks are in. Brad is on Dallas plus 4.5. And he is on Luka Doncic to go over on 3.5 three-pointers. You know what to do. Again, fading Brad has hit at a 60.9% clip now through, what, 64
NBA
postseason games.
Whew.
Yeah, you're rolling, bro. And we're going to see if this stretches to college football. We're going to see just how far the power goes.
I think I want to leave Memphis out. I don't, because I want to root for Memphis and I want to bet with them. So
yeah,
we might want to dis.
And this is such an important season too.
I don't want to hex them.
You might be right. And again, you're the flame of this thing. You are the fire. And so if you have some weird, you know, we have to kind of go with that. I was the kiss of death for Boston last night.
I feel like
maybe we'll just we'll keep you off Memphis football, but maybe we'll touch you on some other college football. See how you do. We'll see.
Yeah.
Again, your power's so strong. We just want to utilize it as much as we can. Winners, Brad Betters, congratulations. Right. It's been great so far. We hope it keeps going for you. Again, do this responsibly. We're having a little bit of fun. It's like we like to do around here.
Absolutely.
But keep it responsible, folks. Keep it responsible. We got more to do here in hour number three, 125. We're going to be joined by the great Norton Herd the Fourth, like he usually does on Wednesdays. We'll talk where Team Thad is now after three EYBL sessions. Got one more left before the Peach Jam. Hint, they're looking real good after an undefeated performance over the weekend, going 4-0. We'll talk to Herd about that. Graceland, everybody can calm down.
Yep.
More on that. Looks like the news is coming out. We'll do that in hour number three. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
And his mama cries.
The Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. They are the best at what they do. How do I know? Because I know from personal experience. 5.5 years ago, they sold a home for me. I thought I'd never be able to sell. That's doing pretty good. So just getting it on the market was one thing. I thought I was going to have to spend thousands. Jennifer Carstensen and our team said, no, you're not going to have to do that. Spend this. Wasn't thousands. We're going to get it on the market. And, oh, by the way, we're going to sell it for this. No, you're not. There's no way you're going to sell my Raleigh home for that price. And she proved me a fool. Got exactly what she said she would, which for me, I was underwater on the home, was getting out basically even. And that was a blessing. Again, felt like a miracle to me. It's just normal work for her. She's done it when others have told the Vannemans no. She stepped in, again, took care of that. They were in a similar situation, got that home sold, and helped them find their dream home, as she did with me. Everyone we've sent over to Live Love's had nothing but positive reviews and thank yous for us. And frankly, the thank you goes to Jennifer Carstensen. Again, this team that she has built from the ground up, they're doing fantastic work, so much so that they've spread their business now. They've grown their business out to Nashville. Obviously, they can take care of you down in DeSoto County as well. So, again, it's a sign of how good she is at what she does. So, take my advice. It's worth the call, 901-625-5200 at the very least. She's going to be a great resource for you. We're not just talking about folks with homes, though. If you're in a renting situation, Jennifer specializes in helping first-time home buyers. I will answer all your questions. Again, 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. All right, I think we finally have some conclusion here to the Graceland foreclosure saga.
Thank goodness.
Because there's been two updates today, but the latest of which, and I'm reading from over at the Daily Memphian, lets us know that it looks like this is all going to be dropped. Not just injunction to stop, but Nausicaa Investments. Brad and I have talked about this. We sniffed this out, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
You and I. The company trying to foreclose on and sell Graceland, again, Nausicaa Investments, is dropping its effort. Mm. Someone claiming to represent the company said in an email Wednesday morning attained by the Daily Memphian. Here's what they wrote. Due to the deed of trust not being recorded and the loan being obtained in different state. It just says in different state.
Okay.
A legal action would have to be filed in multiple states, and Nausicaa Investments and private lending will not proceed, the company said in the email. Again, this company that up until this point, reporters that had a hard time finding representatives of, they get this email. That I will continue reading. That comes from consultations of the lawyers for the company. There was no harm meant on Ms. Keough, who is the Lisa Marie's daughter, for her mother's LMP mishabits and mismanaging of money.
That actually might have happened then.
The company will be withdrawing all claims with prejudice. The email said, and the statement from the company followed the Shelby County Chancellor, Jada Jenkins, halting any sale during a hearing Wednesday morning. That had been the earlier update that this at least was going to be halted for the time being while folks tried to get down to the bottom of Nossany's claim, but we're past that now because we've gotten the email from Nossany, whoever it is, this company that goes back to a P.O. box, essentially,
yeah,
that had this claim. They are dropping their claim. And so I think,
that's good
again,
news.
Anybody that was getting their money together for an auction is going to try to put in a bid on Grayson. You can just stop now. Seems like everything's going to stay as it is.
Having said that, the one question I ask as I listen to you read the statement from the Daily Memphian is that it does sound like, and I'm again, the Graceland thing makes sense that you're keeping Graceland. It's worth $300, $400 million versus the $2 or $3 million loan, which may or may not have happened. It sounds like there might have been some mismanagement of money.
I don't know, man, because again, the person that's that notarized the
document.
They
said it was forged or whatever.
She said she did not do that, yeah, for Lisa Marie. So that hole still
so strange.
Exists. And again, Brad, you're talking about...
This is the weirdest story.
You're talking about a $3.8 million loan that,
right,
you're saying she took out from you in 2018.
Right.
And you're telling me because you now have to go through more legal action in different states, you're no longer interested in getting that and recouping that money?
Right.
No, a real company, seems like
they
to
want
me,
that money.
Would go about that and
that's
try
fair.
To track it down and
right.
go through all the... That's why I think this backing off... Seems like even more so, more evidence of what we thought, that this was a fraud claim in the first place.
Right.
I speculated yesterday, yeah, that maybe Lisa had made a deal with the mob.
Right.
And because the mob doesn't have a face, perhaps this was part of the
side deal.
Why you got P.O. boxes
right.
and you got notaries that didn't really notarize anything. Who knows if that's
so
the case
weird.
Or not. But clearly, with more steps to have to go through and prove that they had an actual claim, they didn't want to do it. And that tells me this whole thing was fraudulent from the get-go. And so I mean, they took a shot, again, at a woman who is no longer here,
yeah,
who's passed away, by saying she mismanaged the money, the mishaps. But, oh, by the way, we didn't mean any harm to you, yeah, Miss Keough. I hope I'm pronouncing her last
you're
name.
You're nailing it.
The daughter. We didn't mean any harm to you, but your mother was terrible with her money.
Right.
We're backing up. We're not going to come after this $3.8 million anymore. To me, that screams this was fraudulent from the get-go,
yeah,
the fact that you're not going to try to track this money down. So, again, the newest update, which seems like it'll be the final update, at least for now, with this claim being dropped by, again, this company, Nossany Investments, that we don't even know if it really exists, seems like it will be the final update.
You know what this also teaches, I think, me at least, is the popularity of Elvis, while we joke about it being over, this story is everywhere. I mean, when I say everywhere, Jason, I'm talking about NBC, national, every radio station that does aggregating is on my feed with this story, even the follow-up today. Like, it does remind you that even 85 years later, like, Elvis is, there's still something there. There's still, you know what I mean? It's still the number two visited house in America, for God's sakes, behind the White House.
And I think there will always be. I don't think that's going anywhere.
I don't think it will, the way they've done it.
I've been surprised by that, even as... You know, generations that loved Elvis have gone and passed away. It still seems like his music's been introduced. And again, whether it's that generation's next generation,
right,
that he introduced that music to, there still seems to be that infatuation for him.
I think so. I think so.
And sort of this, you know, what if around him.
Well, and Elvis Presley Enterprises,
I don't know, will ever die.
Elvis Presley Enterprises has done a good job doing that by taking security of that trademark, by that stuff. They built a $200 million facility over there. They put a hotel in. Like, they've branded. They had the movie last year, I mean, with Baz Luhrmann, like, with Tom Hanks in it. I mean, there's still stuff going
on
there.
It just sounds like the deed of trust for the property bearing Presley's signature was included in the lawsuit's exhibits, along with the alleged loan agreement. Keough believes Presley's signature on documents related to the loan are forged.
Forged.
Man,
yeah.
That
There's
would jive
it.
With what
yeah.
we found out from the notary, that she never met with Lisa
yep.
and signed anything for. So, again, I think you got a deal where, you know, some folks thought together they could put together...
Wild.
But didn't they know? You're trying to claim Graceland
yeah.
that you're going to end up in court. And if you don't have a face or a
you're
rep to put out front,
you're not getting that. Nothing. No.
This is not going to come to fruition for
you. You could actually get in trouble for that.
Yeah, I would imagine so at some point.
Yeah, I would think.
But it seems like to me they've made it very hard to find them.
Yes.
And so I don't know how you can track them down if you were going to try to pursue a fraud case. But Graceland appears to be saved for now. Everybody can rest easy. We're going to talk to Norton Hurd IV, and we're going to do so about basketball, what's going on right now with Team Thad. We'll talk to him, too, about the Tigers situation, what's going on with their recruitment, but also what Penny Hardaway said recently on the Andre Iguodala's podcast, Point Forward, along with Evan Turner. We'll discuss sort of what he said about going to the NBA, what Norton Hurd IV thinks about that. That and much more with Norton Hurd IV when we come back. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN. Norton Hurd IV, the Team Thad program director and coach. You should know that by now. Might not have known. Black Coach Association All-Circuit Selection Board, he did on the EYBL last season. He's back on it this season. And Silver Wave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd. He's on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. Team Thad now 8-2. When looked it up myself, tied for the second best record on the EYBL circuit after a 4-0 weekend this past weekend in Indy. Coach Hurd joins us now like he does every Wednesday. We're blessed to have him. Coach, first off, congrats on another great weekend. Got one more ahead of you. I think this weekend in KC before Peach Jam, are we caught up kind of where you are in the schedule at 8-2?
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate that. It had been a tremendous year. We was kind of in the same position last year, but some people think it's even more remarkable this year, even from the coaching standpoint, because like last year we had a lot of like 4 and 5 stars, and this year is more like just, but you know, we got Jasper and a lot of hard-playing dudes by committee. We're 3 points from being undefeated. We lost to Soldiers by 2, and we lost to UPlay Canada by 1. So it been really good. And so, yeah, Jason, I think we kind of already in PGM. We just playing for position. This weekend would be challenging because we without 3 starters. Jasper is going to USA Basketball, and we had a couple of kids who, you know, had some injuries that we think is that don't make sense to rush back this early, especially with us kind of already being in it. So, and it's 5 games left, but we're still going out to still have a team that standard. We're not laying down, and we're going to compete.
I actually heard Donald Trump say he thinks you're doing a more impressive job this season. You're right. Many, many people are saying it than you did last year. And as Trump knows, you were a Black Coach Association All-Circuit selection for what you did last year. Going back to the point that you were talking about, because I remember this last year, too, it seemed like with Quaintons, Jaden Quaintons, that at one point he's off to USA stuff. I imagine, now, this is something you've dealt with now, and especially as you deal with these high-level, these 5 stars like you're talking about, and in the case of Jasper Johnson, certainly applies here, where they're getting pulled from you, right? You got important EYBL games that you'd love to win, but you can't. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, I'm imagining as coach, too, you've realized these guys, they've got futures as well with USA Basketball, whatever it is. But that's got to be frustrating as a coach, right? These games can help your seeding and everything else for Peach Jam, but you're losing some of your key people before you play them. How do you?
Yeah, it's tough. It didn't happen to me like 3-4 years straight. Yeah. 3 years ago, like Kayla Foster had to do. And then it's Memorial Weekend. It's the most games you have because kids out of school before, which is 5. And we really needed him. Last year wasn't as bad because our team was so loaded that we actually still, we went 4-1. And you remember it was that one buzzer beater against Bradley Beal. Yep. Where we kind of took the bat. So we were really, we were going to go undefeated. So, but this year, Jasper is like a very, very big part of what we do, you know. And our big guy, you know, he just got hurt. So that's unfortunate, a couple other kids. But yeah, you have to find a way to, you know, go through it. You know, sometimes you feel like, am I at a disadvantage by having a kid so good, you know what I mean, because they have to leave. But it all works itself out. And it creates more opportunity for other guys to step up, you know. And so that's a good thing.
No, I know you'd be preaching next man up mentality. And like you said, you've been dealing with this for years. I just wonder, from a scheduling standpoint, could Nike help y'all out a little bit? You know, and I realize, I mean, you've got a great relationship with the Nike folks. I'm not asking you to criticize them, but I just wonder if this, you know, whether it's with USA Basketball, some of their camps, if you could not just, hey, move one of these sessions a weekend over, where at least for the coaches, and I know it's not just you, you've got other coaches probably have the same issue, if that's not just a scheduling thing where you could avoid it. Or is it unavoidable, Hurd? You're going to run into, you know, you're going to run into some camp or something these kids have got in the middle of your season. Is that not something you could just line up with schedule, though, and you could have?
Yeah, I think they're going to eventually move up a week. No, there's nothing else that you can run into outside of USA Basketball. I don't
exactly.
Care what's going on.
Right, EYBL is
going to be
right.
EYBL. But it's a kind of confusing because Nike had kind of, in a way, partnership or run USA. What it is for my listeners or for you to get a better understanding.
Yes.
The way that USA do it, they're not trying to put it on this date. whatever the first day, it's a world rule or whatever. It's a world thing. So, you know, they're competing with the world. So whatever the date is that the first game is, USA go 30 days back.
Got
and
you.
They start their training camp.
Got you.
And so I guess the first game is around June 20, you know, so they do their tryouts from like Thursday to Saturday, and then after then they make their final cut. And then if you make the final cut, you stay. Now, they have made it where, like, if you get cut or whatever, then you can probably get back to the EYBL for the last couple of games or whatever. They have switched it up like this. So it's more USA, kind of on more of a world clock. And then, and you know, so I don't know. I think Nike going to have to eventually move up a weekend. Which Memorial Weekend is such a big basketball weekend, yeah. You know, for AAU and kids of all, you know, age levels. But, yeah, I think eventually they're going to have to work that out.
Just last thing on the EYBL schedule that you can straighten me out and our listeners out on. And I'm sure I've asked you about it before because I remember it was similar last year. But your final regular season session will be this weekend in KC. And I'm assuming Herd. I mean, you guys got the second best record on the circuit right now. You know, you're going to have a good weekend by all accounts in KC. That you'll be one of those teams that's going to Peach Jam, but it's not played until what, the 13th through the 21st. And so you're talking about, you know, going through all of June and then a good part of half of July before you guys are back together again and then playing for this coveted title. How much of a disadvantage? I mean, is it a disadvantage when you? Yeah, how much do you keep those guys together in the in between time? And is that something that's always going to be the case? Well, you'll always have that long layoff in between regular season and championship.
You always have that because the month of June is high school. So they go back with their high school. That's, you know, the MUS camp, the this camp, the that, you know.
So it's off limits for June. That's Nike, what Nike's doing, giving them back to the high schools at that point.
Well, no, that ain't even a Nike thing. They've been like that. I don't know if you remember back then. You was covering when Thad go against Shoney's and MUS. Summer, June has always been, you know, high school ball.
Yes.
Yeah, summer league. Yeah, yeah. And so now they even incorporated where it's two college periods for high school coaches to come to now in June. They started a couple years ago. So that's just how it always been. This year, it was challenging last year because I feel like if we wouldn't have broke up, I feel like we would have had a little more chemistry. The thing I like about this year is not until the 13th, so I can still get them right after the 4th, and we can have our time. Last year was like, It started like on the 5th or 6th, and the last camp was like June the 30th, July 1st, and it was just like rush. I feel like this year, with it not starting until the 13th on the Nike side, that we will have time to get them back together for about a week, which is a long time for our level, and get at it.
Excellent, excellent. That's good news heading into the Peach Jam, certainly. We're talking to Team Thad Program Director and Coach Norton Herd IV here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Real quick, because I'm always asking you about what you guys are doing, and you're handling the 17 and unders, the highest level of them. What's the update, if you've got one for us, on Braylon? On Braylon Williams, who obviously, you know, folks know around here. I guess too, Herd, we're still waiting on him in terms of a high school decision. But back to, he's playing with you, right? Last we checked in, he was playing with Team Thad. How's his squad doing?
Oh, they're doing good. They're in the junior EYB. They're just eighth grade. So they're in the new junior EYB they just created, and they're in the Made Hoops. And they're in the top, you know, five on both sides, Made Hoops, which is like a middle school supported Nike lead, and then the official junior EYBL. So Brellingham group is doing good. I think he had a little knick-knack injury over the weekend, and he should be back. I actually need to call and check on him because Thad, you know, son in middle school. So I've been with the high school kids, and Thad been with the middle school kids since he left. So he was in Dallas with our middle school group, and then I was in Indianapolis with our high school groups or whatever. And yeah. He's doing good. Him, DJ, out on there doing pretty good. As a whole, though, the program.
ESPN. Norton Herd IV, the Team Thad Program Director and Coach. You should know that by now. Might not have known. Black Coach Association All-Circuit Selection Board. He did on the EYBL last season. He's back on it this season. In Silverwave Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Herd. He's on IG at I Am Coach Herd. Team Thad now 8-2 I went and looked it up myself, tied for the second-best record on the YBL circuit after a 4-0 weekend this past weekend in Indy. Coach Hurd joins us now like he does every Wednesday. We're blessed to have him. Coach, first off, congrats on another great weekend. Got one more ahead of you, I think, this weekend in KC before Peach Jam. Are we caught up kind of where you are in the schedule at 8-2?
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate that. It's been a tremendous year. We was kind of in the same position last year, but some people think it's even more remarkable this year, even from the coaching standpoint, because, like, last year we had a lot of, like, 4 and 5 stars, and this year is more like just, but you know, we got Jasper and a lot of hard-playing dudes by committee. We're 3 points from being undefeated. We lost to Soldiers by 2, and we lost to You Play Canada by 1. So it been really good. And so, yeah, Jason, I think we kind of already in Peach Jam. We just playing for position. This weekend would be challenging because we without 3 starters. Jasper is going to USA Basketball, and we had a couple of kids who, you know, had some injuries that we think is that don't make sense to rush back this early, especially with us kind of already being in it. So, and there's 5 games left, but we're still going out to still have a team that has standard. We're not laying down, and we're going to compete.
I actually heard Donald Trump say he thinks you're doing a more impressive job this season. You're right. Many, many people are saying than you did last year. And as Trump knows, you were a Black Coach Association All-Circuit selection for what you did last year. Going back to the point that you were talking about, because I remember this last year, too, it seemed like with Quaintons, Jaden Quaintons, that at one point he's off to USA stuff. I imagine, now, this is something you've dealt with now, and especially as you deal with these high level, these 5 stars like you're talking about, and in the case of Jasper Johnson, certainly applies here, where they're getting pulled from you, right? You got important EYBL games that you'd love to win, but you can't. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, I'm imagining as coach too, you've realized these guys, they've got futures as well with USA Basketball, whatever it is. But that's got to be frustrating as a coach, right? These games can help your seeding and everything else for Peach Jam, but you're losing some of your key people before you play them. How do you?
Yeah, it's tough. It didn't happen to me like 3-4 years straight. Yeah. 3 years ago, like Kayla Foster had to do. And then it's Memorial Weekend. It's the most games you have because kids out of school before, which is 5. And we really needed him. Last year wasn't as bad because our team was so loaded that we actually still, we went 4-1. And you remember it was that one buzzer beater against Bradley Beal. Yep. Where we kind of took the bat. So we were really, we're going to go undefeated. So, but this year, Jasper is like a very, very big part of what we do, you know. And our big guy, you know, he just got hurt. So that's unfortunate, a couple other kids. But yeah, you have to find a way to, you know, go through it. You know, sometimes you feel like, am I at a disadvantage by having a kid so good? You know what I mean? Because they have to leave. But it all works itself out. And it creates more opportunity for other guys to step up, you know. And so that's a good thing.
No, I know you'd be preaching next man up mentality. And like you said, you've been dealing with this for years. I just wonder, from a scheduling standpoint, could Nike help y'all out a little bit? You know, and I realize, I mean, you've got a great relationship with the Nike folks. I'm not asking you to criticize them, but I just wonder if this, you know, whether it's with USA Basketball, some of their camps, if you could not just, hey, move one of these sessions a weekend over, where at least for the coaches, and I know it's not just you, you've got other coaches probably have the same issue, if that's not just a scheduling thing where you could avoid it. Or is it unavoidable, Hurd? You're going to run into, you know, you're going to run into some camp or something these kids have got in the middle of your season. Is that not something you could just line up with schedule, though, and you could have?
Yeah, I think they're going to eventually move up a week. No, there's nothing else that you can run into outside of USA Basketball. I don't
exactly
care what's going on.
Right, EYBL is
going to be
right.
EYBL. But it's a kind of confusing because Nike had kind of, in a way, partnership or run USA. What it is for my listeners or for you to get a better understanding.
Yes.
The way that USA do it, they're not trying to put it on this date. Whatever the first day, it's a world rule or whatever. It's a world thing. So, you know, they're competing with the world. So whatever the date is that the first game is, USA go 30 days back.
Got
and
you.
They start their training camp.
Gotcha.
And so I guess the first game is around June 20. You know, so they do their tryouts from, like, Thursday to Saturday. And then after then, they make their final cut. And then if you make the final cut, you stay. Now, they have made it where, like, if you get cut or whatever, then you can probably get back to the EYBL for the last couple of games or whatever. They have switched it up like this. So it's more USA, kind of on more of a world clock. And then, and, you know, so I don't know. I think Nike going to have to eventually move up a weekend. which Memorial Weekend is such a big basketball weekend, yeah. You know, for AAU and kids of all, you know, age levels. But, yeah, I think eventually they're going to have to work that out.
Just last thing on the EYBL schedule that you can straighten me out and our listeners out on. And I'm sure I've asked you about it before because I remember it was similar last year. But your final regular season session will be this weekend in KC. And I'm assuming, Herd, I mean, you guys got the second best record on the circuit right now. You know, you're going to have a good weekend by all accounts in KC. That you'll be one of those teams that's going to Peach Jam, but it's not played until what, the 13th through the 21st. And so you're talking about, you know, going through all of June and then a good part of half of July before you guys are back together again and then playing for this coveted title. How much of a disadvantage? I mean, is it a disadvantage when you? Yeah, how much do you keep those guys together in the in between time? And is that something that's always going to be the case? Well, you'll always have that long layoff in between regular season and championship.
You always have that because the month of June is high school. So they go back with their high school. That's, you know, the MUS camp, the this camp, the that, you know.
So it's off limits for June. That's Nike. What Nike's doing, giving them back to the high schools at that point.
Well, no, that ain't even a Nike thing. They've been like that. I don't know if you remember back then. You was covering when Thad go against Shoney's and MUS. Summer June has always been, you know, high school ball.
Yes.
Yeah, summer league. Yeah, yeah. And so now they even incorporated where it's two college periods for high school coaches to come to now in June. They started a couple years ago. So that's just how it always been. This year, it was challenging last year because I feel like if we wouldn't have broke up, I feel like we would have had a little more chemistry. The thing I like about this year is not until the 13th, so I can still get them right after the 4th, and we can have time. Last year was like it started like on the 5th or 6th, and the last camp was like June the 30th, July 1st, and it was just like rush. I feel like this year, with it not starting until the 13th on the Nike side, that we will have time to get them back together for about a week, which is a long time for our level, and get at it.
Excellent, excellent. That's good news heading into the Peach Jam, certainly. We're talking to Team Thad, Program Director and Coach Norton Herd IV here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Real quick, because I'm always asking you about what you guys are doing, and you're handling the what, 17 and unders, the highest level of them. What's the update, if you've got one for us, on Braylon? On Braylon Williams, who obviously, you know, folks know around here. I guess too, Herd, we're still waiting on him in terms of a high school decision. But back to, he's playing with you, right? Last we checked in, he was playing with Team Thad. How's his squad doing?
Oh, they're doing good. They're in the junior EYB. They just eighth grade. So they're in the new junior EYB they just created, and they're in the Made Hoops. And they're in the top, you know, five on both sides. Made Hoops, which is like a middle school supported Nike lead, and then the official junior EYBL. So Brellingham group is doing good. I think he had a little knick-knack injury over the weekend, and he should be back. I actually need to call and check on him because Thad, you know, son in middle school. So I've been with the high school kids, and Thad been with the middle school kids since he left. So he was in Dallas with our middle school group, and then I was in Indianapolis with our high school groups or whatever. And yeah. He's doing good. Him, DJ, out on there doing pretty good. As a whole, though, the program, 5th through 17, you doing good. We got some really good prospects on every team. We're moving in the right direction. And, you know, kids develop at different times, and there's a lot of movement at times at AU. But right now, we're, you know, it's looking pretty good all over the board.
I don't want to get too deep in your business and your plan. I know there's limits to this, but I do want to ask you, just a guy – you know, like a Braylon Williams, who you mentioned is just going to the ninth grade. Could he play in a, you know, how soon could he play for you for the 17 and unders? Is he a guy that can play a couple of years up, 1 year up? I'm not trying to say, you know, oh, Jason's rushing this kid or thinks it. I'm not trying to put any pressure on. But a guy like that, as talented as he is, you know, how soon is it before he's up there with you? If you had your way.
Yeah, I mean, it's my program. I kind of have my way, but so I would say this. I definitely know he could play an age group up. I haven't even thought about two because we have, unless you're like 7 foot, you really, EYBL is very tough. So I never, you know.
That's a lot on a young one. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like the big kid from the Soldiers, you know, he like physically 6'8 and can run it. Tyron Stokes, he played in ninth grade and a couple more. But yeah, I can definitely see him playing one age group up. He got it. He can do it. But his situation is different, you know. Even if I wanted him, he has a group that been together for a while, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them play well together.
Right.
And I would never mess up. They have a coach that been with them, Vontae, that's pretty good with them and their parents. So for me, I'm going to kind of let that process roll because it's not broke and it has been working on a high level and I fully support it.
Yeah. No, I figured it speaks to his talent. Now, certainly, you know me, Hurt. I ain't trying to rush things or mess with y'all's plan for him. In terms of Penny Hardaway's plan, I don't know if you saw or heard, but he was on a podcast called Point Forward, I think with Andre Iguodala and Turner, Evan Turner, and said, you know, he thinks daily about not that he's done at Memphis or finished the job, and certainly wasn't suggesting that, but that he thinks daily about being an NBA head coach, that is something that he aspires to. I just wonder. You know, we've asked the question around, can you see Penny on the sidelines and everything else at the NBA level? I'm more interested in you, if you've ever, you know, in being around him and seeing him work out, guys, do you get the sense that that's where this is going to end for him? Again, not discussing what Memphis looks like when he does eventually decide, but he said whether it's 5 years, whether it's 10 years, it's his goal. You think we see Penny Hardaway on an NBA sideline at some point in his future?
Yeah, I do at some point, and I don't think anything wrong with that. First of all, it's exciting that a guy that got everything he wanted in the world, there's not too much stuff he can get, he's still excited about something. You feel what I mean? He still
motivated.
Have a dream. Some of us dream is to get a Bentley truck. Well, he has 10 of them over the years. Some of our dreams is to be rich. Well, he's that time. You get what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm excited to see his work ethic that he actually still want to continue to pour into the game, and that's what he wants to do. And kudos to him. And I didn't see the whole interview. I seen snippets, and I'd seen where, you know, Memphis fans are. Well, it wasn't even the fans. I seen where people tried to make it a deal. And, of course, you know how this city is, a sports people, period. If you pick at it, you know, it is people coming for it, you know. And so I see where people tried to do it in a negative way. But I don't think there's nothing negative. I think you ask anybody, even some of the comments I saw that was negative, if you ask anybody right now who work in their department at their job, if they had the opportunity to move up, would they do it? And most of them would. So, I mean, that's just, I think we need to break this thing down simply, you know what I'm saying? And I think he would be, that's like right now Jasper playing for me, or he playing for a college coach, and he say, I dream about going to the NBA. But it's a process. You got to go through 10 years at first. And he goes, well, Penny, know he probably got a little more work to do, but that's his end goal. I don't see anything wrong with it from my take on it.
No, I like the way, I like the perspective that you brought to that. You want a guy that's motivated. You want a guy that's always trying to, you know, elevate himself. And if that's growing yourself as a coach and then on to the next level, that's a good thing. The one thing I feel pretty good about is he ain't going to leave. You know, if he did, it feels like he would leave the job, at least in his eyes, finished. Whether that's getting Memphis to a Final Four, whether it's winning a championship, like you're not going to leave for the NBA coming off of a season where you didn't win an AAC title, all that. So my thing is, good for Penny if he can get there. But I got a trust that, you know, what he said when he got this job, that he wanted to get this thing back full circle, get it as a contender again, he's going to try to do before he moves on. Do you see any reason whatsoever, Coach, and again, you're working right now, you're on the EYBL circuit, so you couldn't check in, you know, every day of the combine. But David Jones, by all accounts, didn't have a great one. And he was already sort of, you know, David Jones was even surprised he got the invite to the combine in the first place. Doesn't sound like he moved the needle a ton. We saw, too, that, you know, out of shoes, and you know it better than anybody, these guys get a little shorter, but he's 6'3.5", and you just wonder how much is the NBA checking for a 6'3.5" shooting guard, 6'4" shooting guard, especially if he can't really play on the ball. Do you see any reason whatsoever why the deadline's next time? It's next Wednesday, this time next week. See any reason why he shouldn't come back to Memphis at this point based on what we've gathered?
No, from what I have seen, too, I didn't keep up with it a little bit, you know, because these phones stuff here. But, no, I think he should be back. I think it would be good for both parties. I think it would be really good for both parties and give himself another chance to develop more and for them to fall in love with him more and lead. This is the thing, too, not to piggyback, Jason, I want to say this, that Memphis fans should be excited about with either Penny taking the job or even David going to the pros. The only way either of them could do it is if they do great here first. So that's how you got to look at it. Like you just said, if he don't win AAC title, well, and we're talking about a head coach of NBA, they're probably not going to take him off for a subpar year. It would be on some stuff where he made a deep run, or David Jones will increase his stock off some stuff by making a deep run in the tournament. So both of their goals come with them being successful at Memphis. So I think it's if Memphis fans look at it the right way, I think it's a great thing all the way around.
No, I love the way you put that and sort of how they work hand-in-hand. I want to throw this at you, Herb, because you just got me talking about it again. We discussed this with Giannotto a little bit. He had said on that podcast, you know, that he's willing to pay his dues. But I want to go back to a point that you just said, though. See, man, Patrick Ewing, I've used him as an example, sat on an assistant coaching bench in the NBA for over a decade, I think it was, never got the head coaching job offer. Right now, Sam Cassell's been doing that for a long time, and he may lose out on the Lakers job. You know, he's paid all the dues in the world to a guy that hasn't paid any in J.J. Redick, right? Hadn't paid any. He's just a friend of LeBron. So I go back to that wild
podcast.
That's about it. And love him as an analyst and everything else, but he has not paid any dues in terms of being handed a head coaching job. But back to that point, while Penny, I feel him and I appreciate him saying he's willing to pay his dues. Bro, I'm just wondering if you're with me. I cannot see him sitting on somebody's assistant bench for 4 to 5 to 6 years hoping and waiting on a job to open up for him. If he's going to go, it's going to be off a major year at Memphis to where, you know, somebody decides, hey, I want you as my head coach. Do you agree? I can't see Penny sitting around for 5 to 10 years on an assistant coaching bench hoping for a chance that Patrick Ewing never got and Sam Cassell may not get this time around. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't hollered at P about those details, but I will say this. If I just had to speak off the dome, if he wanted an assistant job, I think he could get that right now.
Amen.
Now, with that, I think he could get that, whether we win or lose. That was just with his expertise, his basketball mind, his training skills, then his respect by other players.
I'm with you.
Young players and old players. Yeah, I think he could get that now. So I don't see him going to any situation in the NBA where he's not already know he's going to be the coach within 2 years or he go right in the coach. When he say pay dues, I can't be in his mind, but I think he feel like what he has done in middle school, AAU, high school, now college, that's what he means. Because some of them other guys, your name, they automatically became they first year coach. They automatically became NBA coaches after they got through playing, so they didn't really go through the journey he has went through. So, yeah, I think that's what he meant. I don't think he has even, you know, and I granted we all live to be 70, 80, if God permitted 90, but I don't even think he have time at this point to leave Memphis in a few years, then go sit as an assistant for 10 years. That doesn't sound like the great Penny Hardaway I know.
I think you're right on point as usual. Penny sees paying his dues at winning at every level, right, before getting to the NBA. I'm so with you on that. I think you're right on point as you usually are. Hurt, I wish you luck this weekend in KC. We're all pulling for you here in Memphis. Hoping for another fantastic weekend, man, and look forward to talking to you next Wednesday, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He is Coach Norton Hurt IV. Fantastic at what he does and, frankly, at putting things in perspective. I think he did a great job on that in terms of Penny in the NBA just right there. And obviously is you know, at 8-2 now on the Nike EYBL circuit, one more regular season session to go next week in KC. Then it'll be on to the Peach Jam in July. Obviously doing a good heck of a job this year. Sounds like, too, that things are lining up perfectly because, as Herb mentioned, they'll get that extra week of practice following the fourth where he can get the guys together. Didn't have that last season when they came up a little short. So, obviously, all pulling for Team Thad. Again, 8-2 now on the EYBL circuit. Herd is plugged in as they come. Appreciate his perspective. We'll be right back. We're going to get you ready for Giannotto and Jeffrey. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
Like a dog without a bone and
I was reading from MemphisWeather.net. I mean, I had an idea of this just looking outside that the thunderstorms are coming in.
Here it comes. Here it comes. A few days of rain, it looks like we were expecting.
Yep, quite a bit. Expect heavy rain in areas north of I-240 loop for a while before more rain approaches within and south of the I-240 loop. Severe thunderstorms are approaching north Mississippi as well.
So. That means our friends that are in Murfreesboro for spring fling for all the various sports around town are going
to
get soaked over there in the next couple of days.
You go try to find cover. And usually everybody's got to go to the same building.
There's a, and I forgive me for not remembering his name. There's a kid over at Christian Brothers who threw the discus and won the discus yesterday. He would have been third in the SEC with his discus throw. Yeah, that's how he's related to a kid on Jake's baseball team. I forgive me for not knowing his name. He's incredible.
Yeah, remind me of that tomorrow. We'll talk about it in rundown. Yeah. Sounds like that kid deserves a respect.
Would have been third in the SEC with his throw.
Fantastic.
Yeah, crazy. And there's all sorts of stories. I know East had like a 4x100.
And they won the whole thing, I think. Yeah. One of their teams won the team track title as well.
Yeah, so I have to track down
we'll
some
do
of these
a little,
other.
Yeah, you yeah. you're making me, but you're always pulling my heartstrings. You're talking about
back to your roots.
Talking about going back there. A couple things before we get out of here thought were real interesting. At least one from Jason Munz' mailbag, the Tigers basketball beat writer over the commercial appeal, talks about David Jones. The week that he's got before he's got to make a decision. We know about that. Talked about the NIL money that Memphis is getting from FedEx. I thought in terms of interesting things out of this mailbag that he's got again over at commercialbill.com was this. He was asked about, is there any official news on the makeup of the coaching staff, we had known that Andre Turner was coming in at some point. There's nothing's been made official yet. And figure two, there might even be more change. Munz points out and continues to confirm Hardaway plans to add Memphis legend Andre Turner to the staff. There's a but.
Okay.
According to multiple sources, Turner will not be an assistant coach, and his specific role has not yet been determined. And so while there have been some reporting he's going to be one of the three assistants, Munz is going, has heard from multiple folks now that he's not.
Gotcha.
What it underlines for me is how badly Andre Turner, and we said it had been years, Josh, Cal, how badly Andre Turner wanted to get back home, that you're willing to take what it looks like a support staff role and leave a head coaching job at Lane. I know lower level, but it's still a head coaching job.
Wow.
To come to get back home. To get back to Memphis says a lot. We'll see once things become official what exactly Andre Turner is going to be doing, but certainly going to be a part of the Memphis staff. We'll see in what role. Thank you to our guests today, Mark Giannotto and Norton Hurd IV, the coach of Team Thad. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone. Again.
Like a dog without a bone. And
yeah, I was reading from MemphisWeather.net. I mean, I had an idea of this just looking outside that the thunderstorms are coming in.
Here it comes. Here it comes. A few days of rain, it looks like we were expecting.
Yep, quite a bit. Expect heavy rain in areas north of I-240 loop for a while before more rain approaches within and south of the I-240 loop. Severe thunderstorms are approaching north Mississippi as well. So.
That means our friends that are in Murfreesboro for spring fling for all the various sports around town are going
to
get soaked over there in the next couple of days.
You go try to find cover. And usually everybody's got to go to the same building.
There's a, and I forgive me for not remembering his name. There's a kid over at Christian Brothers who threw the discus and won the discus yesterday. He would have been third in the SEC with his discus throw. Yeah, that's how he's related to a kid on Jake's baseball team. I forgive me for not knowing his name. He's incredible.
Yeah, remind me of that tomorrow. We'll talk about it in rundown. Yeah. Sounds like that kid deserves a respect.
Would have been third in the SEC with his throw.
Fantastic.
Yeah, crazy. And there's all sorts of stories. I know East had like a 4x100.
And they won the whole thing, I think.
Yeah.
One of their teams won the team track title as well.
Yeah, so I have to track down
some
of these
other. Yeah, you're making me, but you're always pulling my heartstrings. You're talking about
back to your roots.
Talking about going back there. A couple things before we get out of here thought were real interesting. At least one from Jason Munz' mailbag, the Tigers basketball beat writer over the commercial appeal, talks about David Jones. The week that he's got before he's got to make a decision. We know about that. Talked about the NIL money that Memphis is getting from FedEx. I thought in terms of interesting things out of this mailbag that he's got again over at commercialbill.com was this. He was asked about, is there any official news on the makeup of the coaching staff, we had known that Andre Turner was coming in at some point. There's nothing's been made official yet. And figure two, there might even be more change. Munz points out and continues to confirm Hardaway plans to add Memphis legend Andre Turner to the staff. There's a but.
Okay.
According to multiple sources, Turner will not be an assistant coach,
and his specific role has not yet been determined. And so while there, you know, there have been some reporting he's going to be one of the three assistants, Munns is going, you know, has heard from multiple folks now that he's not.
Gotcha.
What it underlines for me is how badly Andre Turner, and we said it had been years, Josh, Cal, all of the, how badly Andre Turner wanted to get back home, that you're willing to take what it looks like a support staff role to and leave a head coaching job at Lane. I know lower level, but it's still a head coaching job.
Wow.
To come to get back home, to get back to Memphis, says a lot. We'll see once things become official what exactly Andre Turner is going to be doing, but certainly going to be a part of the Memphis staff. We'll see in what role. Thank you to our guests today, Mark Giannotto and Norton Hurd IV, the coach of Team Thad. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're going.